Mor Katan Per Gimel Mishnah Hey 3-5. And now the Mishnah turns the topic of Avelus, the halachas of mourning, which will actually take us through to the end of the Masechta now, the rest of the Perek. And the basic idea of mourning is the Torah requires one to have, out of respect and recognition of the loss of one's relative, he is to mourn. I'll describe the basic halachas of mourning at the end. But mourning Avelus is a requirement that applies to one who's lost one of his seven relatives. Those seven relatives are his father or mother, sister or brother, son or daughter, or spouse, and even one's sister, once she's married out of the family, there's no mitzvah anymore to sit in Avelus for her midoraisa. Now, the Avelus has two basic phases to it. The first 7 days, called the Shiva meaning seven, of course, and then the Shloshim, the remainder of the 30 days from the time of the burial. Now, those 7 days and 30 days, which overlap, like the first seven are Shiva and the next 23 are the rest of the Shloshim. So they're counted from the time that the person is buried prior to burial. So the mourners, let's call them, aren't in the state of Avelus, they're in a state called Aninus. I don't want to get into that topic at all now. I also don't want to get into the topic of what if a person is not involved in the burial and the burial takes a number of days. I'm not discussing any of those issues. The Mishnah's assumption, what I'm assuming here, is the person's buried the day that they die. And that's the setup. So now, the first 7 days of Shiva are more intense. The rest of the month, completing out the Shloshim, are less intense requirements. If one loses a father or mother, so then instead of observing that less intense period for Shloshim for 30 days, he observes it for 12 months out of respect for the parents, whether that's a father or mother. Okay, again, at the end of the Mishnah, I'll talk about the more specific halachas of what one does during the Shiva and during the Shloshim. Point of the Mishnah here is that when it comes to Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah of Simcha, v'samachta bechagecha, you have to be happy, and that is intrinsically in conflict with the mourning, the Avelus. And therefore, one can't be in Avelus really while Yom Tov is happening. This in contrast to Shabbos. Shabbos is no mitzvah of Simcha. There is a mitzvah of Oneg to rejoice, Oneg to enjoy. I should say enjoy Shabbos, but not Simcha per se. And therefore, as the Mishnah will point out right away, there is a difference in the treatment of when one passes through a Shabbos while in mourning, verse 1 passes through a Yom Tov. Now, the basic idea of our Mishnah is that Yom Tov will interrupt the Shiva or the Shloshim. And as long as you observed Shiva or Shloshim in part, basically, so then you, after the Yom Tov comes, then that's over. When Yom Tov ends, you don't resume the Shiva, Shiva's over. Or if it was Shloshim, you don't observe the Shloshim, it's over. Provided that you did start. And the Mishnah says, inside HaKover Es Meso, one who buries his relative, Shlosha Yamim Kodun L'Regel, assuming that the burial happened 3 days prior to the Regel, and the rule when it comes to mourning is Miktsas Yom Kukulo, a part of a day counts as a whole day, and therefore, let's say, if a person was buried 1 hour before the end of, Yom Sheni, and then he has Yom Shlishi and Yom Revi'i, or days 2 and 3 of his mourning. And then that night after Yom Revi'i, I said this so confusingly, I'm sorry. At that night, Yom Revi'i, let's say it becomes Pesach, so then he's observed 3 days of mourning before the Yom Tov, that being the case, Bat Lehemenu Gezeras Shiva. At that point, like Shiva's over for him, he can't mourn on Yom Tov, and therefore when it's all over, and when Yom Tov's over, then so the Shiva is also over. That's the shita here of the Tanna Kamma. The truth is that there are other Tanaim not mentioned in our Mishnah who disagree with the Tanna Kamma, and they hold that as long as you observed any amount of the Shiva prior to Yom Tov, then Shiva comes to an end. So while he holds 3 days, Tanna Kamma here, the halacha is like those Tanaim that as long as you even did 5 minutes, 2 minutes of Avelus, as soon as you buried a person, 5 minutes before your relative, 5 minutes before Pesach comes in, you take off your shoes. One of the things you can't do in Avelus is wear leather shoes, like Tisha B'Av. Take off your shoes, sit down, then you sit down for a minute. Then you've observed a moment, a minute of Avelus, and that's of Shiva, and that's sufficient to now it won't resume after Yom Tov is over. That will be the halacha l'maisa. The reason for the three numbers, because the Gemara speaks out how there's two stages to Shiva. There's the first 3 days, and then the second stage of 4 days. So the first 3 days are more intense for crying, and the second stage, the last four, are less so. And they're actually halacha, big nafkamina is the halacha about the first 3 days and the other four, even though we don't possibly, like this Mishnah as it's presented here, there are differences between the first 3 days, which are more intense, and the latter 4 days. I'll discuss that also at the end of the Mishnah, the halacha l'maisa. The Mishnah continues on, Shmona, if you're 8 days from the burial, and then Yom Tov arrives, so that means since you started already the Shloshim, but lehem mena gezeras Shloshim, so Shloshim now over, and then there won't be Shloshim to continue after Yom Tov is over. It's all over. Shloshim is finished. Why? Bebnesha Amru, because the Chazal taught us, and this is the principle, Shabbos Ola ve'ena mafsekes, Shabbos counts, meaning it counts one of the 7 days or one of the 30 days, but ena mafsekes, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop the process, meaning if Shabbos comes midweek, I should say mid-Shiva, so then after Shabbos is over, the Shiva continues on. The reason why is because even on Shabbos, the truth is that one does continue to observe. It doesn't interrupt, because I said it's no mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. It does count towards the 7 days, because the truth is that while one doesn't mourn openly, before Hesia, in a public way when it comes to Shabbos, one actually does observe certain aspects of the morning that are done betzina in private, like for example washing with warm water. One wouldn't do in Shabbos if he had a basin of warm water and it's permitted to wash, let's say, his hands or feet on a Shabbos. Normally he would not do it with warm water on the week he's in Avelis, even on Shabbos, because of that's something betzina, that's a private thing which one wouldn't do. So you see there's some applicability of the morning on Shabbos, and similar Tashmish Amita is a more notable thing. So all these things, since they kick in on Shabbos still, Shabbos is one of the 7 days. Okay, the Mishnah ends up by saying, Regalim Mafsikin, the Regal does break, intercede, meaning that once you have the Regal, the holiday, the festival, that's the end of the Shiva or the Shloshim, but the Einan Olin, but it doesn't count towards the seven. So that means, for example, the last sentence is saying, if hypothetically a person, buried in the middle of Chol HaMoed, buried one of his relatives, so then when Yom Tov is over at the end of the Yom Tov, he's starting day one of Shiva only then. They don't count towards, the days of Yom Tov don't count towards the Shiva or the Shloshim. And Shloshim, the same rule would apply for the 12 months. Now even that's not Lahalacha, excuse me. Lahalacha, we don't even need 8 days. I'm sorry, I should have said that before. Since we say Mitzas Yom Kukulo, even a part of the day is like the whole day. So since what happens is on the 7th day of your Shiva, after Shachas is called, you get up from Shiva, quote unquote, right? And since you're up from Shiva still on the morning of the 7th day, that means that your Shloshim is beginning in the middle of that 7th day. Which means if at the end of that 7th day comes Yom Tov, you observed a bit of Shloshim on that 7th day. So therefore, even though the Mishnah says if you went to the 8th day, then from the burial, then you would not have to do Shloshim. The halacha is even if after the 7th day that night becomes Yom Tov, there will be no Shloshim after Yom Tov. That's the halacha l'maisa. Now, just in terms of a quick summary of the halachas of mourning. So, when it comes to the 7 days of Shiva, so the basic Isurim, first of all, familiar to us from Tisha B'Av, one can't do those things. So, no eating is permitted, obviously. But one can't do rechitza, washing his whole body, even part of his body with warm water. Kasicha, you can't anoint yourself with oils. Laundering is forbidden, and that's really relevant over here, you'll see, because that's what we're talking about, Chol HaMoed here, where you also don't launder. But laundering is forbidden. Wearing leather shoes is forbidden. Tashmish Shemitah is forbidden. Malacha in general that distract you from work is forbidden. She'ela Shalom, greeting is forbidden. There, this is interesting. You're not supposed to greet a person in mourning, and they're not supposed to greet you. If a person who's in mourning gets greeted in the first 3 days. I told you there's a difference in the first 3 days and the latter. In the first 3 days, he's not to respond. In the second part of his Shiva, meaning from day four onwards, you're not supposed to ask him Shalom Aleichem, but if you do, he's supposed to respond to you. Okay? So that there's a difference in the first three and the latter 4 days. Okay? There's also a couple, and haircutting. We don't shave or get haircuts during Shiva at all. There are a couple other minhagim brought down la halacha, which we don't really observe nowadays, including atifas arosh, like wrapping one's head, like in mourning, which is don't really do today, and kfiyas amita, the turning over of the bed, which in general is not done today. We do, however, restrict Talmud Torah. People don't learn Torah on their shiva because it brings them joy, and that they shouldn't do, and beyond the halachas that apply to that they need to know for that period. Okay, so those are the seven shiva, the shiva days. Then the avelos that applies to the shloshim, or the whole year, in the case of one losing his parents, really just are three things. The first is gihutz. Gihutz is like, it's like, modern Hebrew means ironing, but it means very well freshly laundered clothing. That's familiar to us, like what we don't do also on the 9 days and so on. Don't have freshly laundered clothing. Gihutz is, it's like that. So same goes for the shloshim. Second of all, haircutting doesn't happen for shloshim. And also simcha, like you're not supposed to participate in joyous activities. If you're mourning your parents, then the same thing would apply also. But there's leniency with the haircut. Once your friends say to you, you look ridiculous, you know, you're unkempt and out of control. So at that point, you're allowed to get a haircut or a shave, as the case may be. Okay. Also, one doesn't get married in the 30 days. But worth noting that even the one who's mourning for his parents could get married in the year. And someone who never had children actually can get married even hypothetically right away, even those 30 days, if he has to fill the mitzvah and that presents itself to him. Okay.